All right, we're going to continue from this morning, and welcome back as God has given us another opportunity to worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 17:17, Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So today or tonight, we're going to continue our worship under the same lesson that we started this morning. And that lesson is entitled, How People Respond to the Gospel. There's four kinds of hearts. We spent a lot of time in Matthew chapter 13. And tonight, we're going to look at a parallel passage dealing with the same topic. Mark recorded what Jesus had said about the gospel, and that's going to be found in Mark chapter 4, so make sure you're there. The intro was very brief on this morning. We said, why do we need the gospel? Because sin separates us from God. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. And also recorded and reflected upon that one must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess Jesus, and be baptized. And we covered a number of scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which tells us, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, that is, 1 through 4, that tells us what the gospel is. The gospel is about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his life, his teachings, and that we are saved through his sacrifice, through his death. We also talked about the parable, what the definition of a parable is. A parable is a brief story that makes a comparison. It typically uses an illustration from everyday life to bring about a spiritual truth. We talked about Jesus' parable relates to a sower, a farmer, that is sowing seed to hopefully realize a crop, and how that seed fell in several different areas. And those areas, as you reflect on it in a spiritual sense, represents hearts. The sower, Jesus Christ, the word is the seed we covered. And we spent some time talking about the seed that fell by the wayside, unresponsive people, people that don't understand. And then when you don't understand and you are unresponsive, Satan has an opportunity to take the word out of your heart. We moved on and talked also about the seed that fell upon stony places. And those could be described, those people could be described as they received the word with joy, as the Bible has said, or Jesus said, but after a while, they fall away when there is temptation and trials. But tonight, we wanted to focus our minds on the last two areas that Jesus talked about where seed ends up, and how that seed evolves, or how it grows, and in what type of soil it grows in, and the results of growing in a particular soil. Now, as we were reflecting, Brother Jesse and I were looking out, and he said, wow, we got low numbers tonight. And it brought to mind a scripture that I covered that sometimes you don't get to. Now, all this is on the website. Brother Glenn is going to upload it, and like I said this morning, it's probably going to crash the website because I have so much information. I love to look at the totality of the scriptures related to the subject matter at hand. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, turn over there with me very quickly in your Bibles. Make sure you have your Bibles. The Word of God is going to be there in the last day. Judgment. It's not going to matter what Brother Robert say. It's going to matter what the Word is going to say. You should never be discouraged by the numbers. If only five are here, we're going to have worship. And I want to be among the five. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. 14, but because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and how many? Few there be that find it. And we have chosen to be among the few tonight to worship God, continue worshiping God in spirit and truth. So hey, be happy. Be happy. We will, and there's work to encourage those that are not here. There's reasons for it, for a lot of people not being in service, and then there are those that are habitually not here, which is part of our work. And we will work until we die, encouraging them to grow and grow and to be remain faithful to God and try to attend all services. So third category found in, we're going to move over to Mark. Mark chapter 4. And just for the sake of emphasis and for those that weren't here this morning, starting at verse number 3, because we read 1 and 2 in the opening scripture. Hearken, behold, hearken, Jesus says, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, he sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth 30, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, we talked on this morning that this parable is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's unique. And also, it is interpreted by Jesus. So we don't spend a lot of time. What was he saying? How was he saying it? What did he mean? We can go right to the word and look at verse 14. He says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they which by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure for it but a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And that may be a reason why some of our brethren are not back here tonight. They could be among the thorns. And like I said, there's a lot of reasons why members do not come back on Sunday night. That's another lesson in itself, but I believe a lot of our brethren fall into that category, that the cares of this world choke the word. If you've ever been choked before, it's not a pleasant feeling. I mean, it's very uncomfortable, and some of our brethren do feel comfortable when they're not back, and I hope that one day they will grow to the point of overcoming these cares that will hinder them from worshiping in spirit and in truth in both services. Now, there were several things that I pointed out that I wanted to point out to us as we covered this passage dealing with the fell among the thorns. Preoccupied people is one word that came out in my lesson as I prepared. Unplowed, unprepared soil. Three things would choke the word. These cares, riches, pleasures may not be sinful things, but simply things that demand so much attention from us that we neglect spiritual things. And that is true. Things can pull us away from Jesus Christ. Now, we covered that area a little bit this morning, and there were some scriptures that I wanted to share with us relative to that. And one of those scriptures is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Sometimes what pulls us away, that is a care, could be because of relationships. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial," or the devil? "What part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Sometimes an infidel is an unbeliever. Sometimes we're spending too much time with unbelievers. They're not going to worship. They're going to the movies, to the beach, wherever, on Sunday night. Sometimes on Sunday morning, too. So have to be careful to get caught up in the cares of the world. Also, he said, he continued, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, I've been in the body of Christ, I believe, since January 1980, January the 30th. Long time. I've been coming to worship, trying to do what the Lord's will. So on Sunday night, it's not a "I got to," I will to. I look forward to it. Now, sometimes brethren have not grown to that point. And then just think about life in general that will keep us from doing the Lord's work, from sending cards to members that are absent, from making a call, from visitation, from prayer for delinquent members, sick members, anything that we can do to help God's people. As Christ said, "As you have done, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have what? Done it unto me." No matter what, how small, how trivial it is, if it helps someone focus on Jesus and help them in a time of need, that is a work. That could be a fruit that you're bearing for the Lord Almighty. So just because you can't come up here and speak, you can't teach a class, there's a lot of other things that you can do. Take an elderly person to senior sister in Christ, shopping, to get medicine, read the Bible to them, help mow their lawn, straighten up their house. Some of our elderly brethren, elderly sisters there, and brethren, they can't clean the house. Like, there's a lot of work, a lot of fruit that we a lot of work that can turn into fruit for the Lord. So in that category, other things enter in and choke the word. And notice it talked about the word, and this morning we talked about this parable relates to spiritually to the hearts of the hearers and understanding. And the word being in the heart, and in this particular passage, Jesus uses the words "choke the word." You choke the word. You think about choking the life out of something. I mean, the word is not going to be there. It's going to be pushed out. So reflect upon that in our lives. What category are we in? James said in James chapter 4. James is pretty strong when he addressed his audience. In this passage, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But God giveth more grace, wherefore he saith he, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble," or humble. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We have to resist Satan when we are tempted by the riches and the lusts of other things entering in our hearts and choking the word so that we may become unfruitful. And that could happen to we as Christians at any time. One part of the year you can be in category three. And the next part, you're in category four, and you're going back and forth. So we have to be careful and remember what Jesus has said, that sometimes being a friend of the world, now basically all my friends are, I can't even count, all my friends are in the church. My family is in the church. Now, we got to have friends. It's good to have friends outside of the church because you can teach them the word. That should be the objective and the goal. But I don't have any friends that's going to pull me away from the Lord, that's going to help Satan choke the word out of me, that's going to help me turn to deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things and become unfruitful. All right. Let's see. I had a lot of passages under that one, because 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Again, the world. Love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and that's 1 John 2:15 starting. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that is true. The love of the world. A lot of our young people, they love the world. Parents, you have a challenge on your hands. I tell you, I've been teaching young people for years, and I've seen a change. I've seen a change in the amount of time that's spent in Bible study, the retainage of the Word of God, the attraction to the world and the dressing and just the songs, and they eat it up. So parents, God bless you for trying to teach your kids and to be committed to God Almighty and bringing them the service and teaching them Bible studies at home, having them seeing parents pray together, because it's a battle with Satan, because they love the world. They love it. We've got to remind them that we should love God more and put God first. All right, now, this morning we also talked about, looked at a parallel scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. We won't go there. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 is another one of my favorite scriptures that I admonish the young people with. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, I think it falls under this category. The Hebrew writer, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but he was very well informed about the Word of God. And in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away and renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame." Now, a warning there. For our young people that have been baptized into Jesus Christ, our middle age and old, we turn our back on the Lord, there's going to be some consequences. Now remember, we covered 2 Peter 2:20. Through the knowledge of the word, we escape the pollutions of the world. Moving on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, under that category, and I'm going to cover two more scriptures under that, and then I'm going to the next category where we find we want to be at. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing also we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Cares could be a weight. Riches could be a weight. They can migrate over to a sin when we put them before God. "Sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." I like that. Run. Sometimes you got to run from Satan. Joseph ran from Satan. Well, who was that? Potiphar's wife, when she caught him. He said, "How can I do this thing against God, sin against God?" He ran out of the house. Some of our young people need to run, but that's a whole nother lesson. "Let us run with patience and patience the race that is set before us, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we need to be looking unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We should be patient. We should run the race that's set before us, laying aside every weight and laying aside sin. And cares can be weights. We covered a lesson about that once before, and it can help us become unfruitful. Worrying, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus dealt with that. Why, you know, about worrying and having anxiety. Christians shouldn't be worrying and having anxiety. Christians should be praying and studying and committing themselves into the hand of God. Once you put the trust in God, we gotta leave it with Him. We trust that He is our Father, and He cares for us, and we put our faith and our reliance in Him. One last scripture under that topic, or under that category, taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Kind of parallel, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said to the Roman Christians, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." It's a sacrifice to come back on Sunday night. I mean, most people don't get it. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice not to get tangled up in the world. Now, he says a living sacrifice, holy, set aside for God, exclusively for His use, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable service. It's a service. Worship service. "Be not conformed to this world." Again, the world. The world keeps coming up. Don't conform to be shaped into the world. That chokes the word, helps us become unfruitful. "Be transformed by renewing of your mind," or your heart, "that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." And our mind is renewed. And we know what God's will is when we study His word, when we listen to His word, when we spend time with those who are going to share God's word with us. The last category, that's where we want to be. Seed into the good ground. Good ground. A couple of points on the seed that fell into the good ground. Going back to Mark chapter 4, verse 20. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it," accept it, "bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, several points under this particular part. Remember, a sower is sowing the seed. The seed fell among different types of soil. We're paralleling that with the hearts. The word of God falls on different hearts, and those hearts are got a lot of things going on in the heart. Here, this particular heart, there's some good ground, good heart. They are the good and honest hearts who keep the word and bring forth fruit. These are they which keep the word with patience. This means they never give up, they never quit. Well plowed, prepared soil. When people's hearts are true to Jesus, trouble does not make them leave their faith in Christ. They put God and His kingdom first. This kind of life produces good fruit. So when we think about fruit could be, as we said, encouraging someone, definitely teaching someone the gospel, being an example, especially for parents. Parents, I mean, are in a unique position that they can be their examples to their kids, conveying the gospel to their kids. Those that are not been baptized into Christ, the parents are on the front line in teaching them the word of God to bring that fruit, hopefully, to them becoming believers in Christ, baptized believers, accepting the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, one thing I want to encourage us as brethren that are bearing fruit, whatever fruit it is, calls, cards, letters, words of encouragement, visiting the sick, visiting the widows, visiting the delinquents, those that don't have fathers or mothers, helping people out with food, shelter. There's a number of works that we can do that bear fruit for God. Ephesians chapter 2 gives us encouragement. I want to encourage us tonight by looking at several passages that I believe amplify or show some light on those that bear good fruit and have good hearts. We need to be reminded in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our works cannot save us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We are workmen. We work hand in hand with God in carrying out his will, his way, and his word. That should encourage us. We should not be discouraged. We should continue to be in the good ground. And Colossians chapter 6, verse 9. Words of encouragement for those that are in the good ground so they can be patient and continue in God's work and continue to yield fruit. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." He won't forget what you have showed toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints in whatever way, and do minister. When we serve and do for God's people, we're doing for Christ. When we teach God's word to co-workers, friends, family, that's good work. That's fruit. Now, it brings to mind another passage. Sometimes we're going to teach the word of God, and there's not going to be a visual return for years. Maybe months, years. Now, Paul addressed that from a different way, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, they were saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Paul said, that doesn't matter. Paul said in verse 6, "I have planted." What is planting? When we tell somebody and share with the word of God with individuals, they may not obey and be baptized, but we're planting the word of God in their hearts. Now, they may be at that stage one and stage two in that parable. But that is a work, and that may yield fruit years later because we planted. So there's a tremendous amount of opportunities to work for God, and you may die before that person becomes a part of God's family, before they obey the gospel. But that fruit, and then when they become, if you baptize a mother that hasn't, you know, she's just got married, she plans to have five children. I don't want to say you baptize, but if you are instrumental in planting the word in that mother's heart, and then ultimately she obeys the gospel, and then she shares the gospel with her children, you see how that fruit can exponentially go on and ripple through the course of time. So spreading the word and talking about the word is very important. You see, "I have planted, Apollos watered." What is watering? Encouraging, reminding. We remind people to come to worship, to be faithful, to get involved. But who gives the increase? God gives the increase. We should never get discouraged. I say that time and time again. We should never get discouraged about what numbers. That's my reminder, 7:15. Never let numbers discourage you. You look out and say, "Oh, they weren't here. A lot of people weren't here." We're going to follow Jesus. If it's 10, 15, 20, whatever. We're going to plant and we're going to water, and God gives the increase. So he says, verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase according to his own labor." And wait a minute, let me read that over. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So we are laboring together with God on that good. We have good hearts. We're in that good ground. And we will continue to hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit for God, unto God. Now, I always have too many scriptures to share within the allotted time. So Glenn will upload my lesson to the website for those that are website savvy. All these passages and many, many more are on the website that relate to this lesson that I felt that would be encouraging to us as Christians. I just want to encourage those that are definitely in that good ground, and everyone else that are not in the good ground, remain faithful to God no matter what. Numbers don't matter to God. We think about in the days of Noah, he preached for, I believe, 120 years, and how many souls were in the ark? I think it was eight. Somebody said eight. That's what I recall, too. So God doesn't deal with numbers. Never, never, ever, never. The lesson is ours. In review, four hearts, four categories. Those that are by the wayside, they understand, they hear, Satan takes the word out of their heart. Those that have fallen on stony, that the word falls on stony hearts, don't have much root. When tribulation and persecution come, they fall away. Those that are among the thorns, cares, riches, deceitful lusts that choke the word, and those that are in the good ground, remember that we are workmanship. We are working together with God. We are laboring together with God, and God is not unrighteous to forget our works. Tonight, I hope everyone has reflected upon this passage that we have taken from God's words found in Matthew, Mark, and also Luke. Now, we didn't have much time to get to Luke's account, but Luke had a few things to say that it was phrased just a little differently. And in my closing, in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, in reference to those that fell among the thorns, he said, bring no fruit to perfection. Okay, they have fruit, they have work, but to bring no fruit to perfection. And one other point that Luke pointed out that the other passage did not, in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, he said, they heard the word and they keep it. So little subtleties there, but mean a whole lot. Bringing fruit, no fruit to perfection, and those that fell among the thorns, and then they heard the word. Those that fell on have the good ground, the good hearts, heard the word and keep it. So we must keep God's word. Tonight, if there's anyone that would like to hear more about the gospel of Christ, the invitation always stands open. We, the family of God, the eldership, the members stand willing and ready to share God's word with you in order for you to understand and be saved, to hear his word, to believe his word, repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. So as we stand and sing the song of invitation, those that are subject, please do come.